Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Hope everybody's staying warm this morning. You know, this morning is, like I said, like Brother Tad said, someone turned the heater off, and I was cold, and I don't really do cold really well. I'm not really excited about cold weather at all. I've been excited this whole winter, how warm it's been. But you know what? The first thing that I thought of when I hit the cold and I was not really warm was, this is still the day the Lord has made. We're still going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We're here to celebrate Jesus. We're here. We're alive. And, you know, I didn't even decide. I decided, instead of griping, I'm just going to be happy, you know, and joyful. Amen. Because God's still God. Well, this morning, turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We go there a whole lot. That's actually the keynote scripture of this ministry, because that was the scriptures that my grandfather came off the deathbed on. But I want to look back. Before we have the mountain, we have the fig tree. So this morning, my message is entitled Fig Tree Faith. Fig Tree Faith. You know, so, you know, a lot of times we talk about the mountain, but if there wasn't a fig tree, there never would be a mountain. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus didn't just teach faith, he demonstrated faith through the fig tree. See, the fig tree was a demonstration of what we need to do to our mountains. And if it wasn't for the fig tree, but a lot of times we kind of just overlook the fig tree because we're busy looking at our mountains. All right? But, you know, before Jesus ever talks about moving mountains, before he ever says to have faith in God, he speaks to a fig tree. And the Holy Spirit recorded this because the fig tree shows us how faith actually works. You know, faith is not just something you believe quietly. Faith is not something you think in your heart. Faith is something you say. Going to Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14, it says this. Now the next day, when they, talking about Jesus and his disciples, come out from Bethany, he was hungry. Now you might circle in your Bible hungry, because that's the most important part, you know. And seeing a fig tree from afar. I want you to notice the word afar, because it took me a long time before I ever thought about this. A fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Now, let's just think about this, because many times whenever I've heard the fig tree story, I actually, you know, when we see stories in the Bible, sometimes we perceive them, and we perceive them wrongly. All right, my thought was, Jesus is walking down the road, he sees a fig tree on the thing, and, you know, and he curses it. But according to the Bible, it says when he's walking down the road, he sees a fig tree from afar. Okay, afar is not a close. All right, there's a close and there's a far. All right, so, and it does make sense. So if I was a fig farmer, and I'm not going to plant my fig tree right next to the road where everyone's going to steal my figs. So evidently, Jesus had to go out of his way a little bit. However, afar is. You know, I don't know what afar is. Some of you might Google that and figure out what afar is. But he must have had to deviate from his road to go over to see the fig tree. And when he got there, he faced something called disappointment, because the fig tree wasn't what it was supposed to be. There was no fruit. And remember, the key point is, he was hungry and he wanted breakfast, you know, a fig, I guess, for breakfast. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I have been hungry and for some reason I'm not able to get food, I get a little angry. So I think when Jesus cursed the fig tree, he didn't just say, "Well, I hope no one ever eats fruit of you again." I mean, I bet you he put some emotion into that. Because, you see, we don't see Jesus. Jesus was a person. He had feelings. He had emotions. All right, so I'm sure that, so when he got there, he faced a disappointment. How many times have you thought something's gonna happen and then you get there and you face a disappointment? I mean, we've all done that. Well, so an example said when Jesus faced a disappointment, what he did, he spoke to his disappointment. He commanded that tree to die. Now, it is interesting how the Bible, you know, goes on to tell us that the fig tree, you know, had leaves, but no figs. And because it says the season of figs was not now. So you know, I'm not a farmer, all right? I'm sure you probably know that. I don't know much about farming. But I know there's a season for different things, you know, and that's why when you go to the grocery store, sometimes there's some fruits that are not there because they're not in season. All right, it wasn't fig season, so the fig tree shouldn't have figs. But also a fig tree shouldn't have leaves. But according to Google, because I don't know, that if a fig tree has leaves, it also should have figs. So that tree was deceptive. Now it's interesting that by Jesus cursing that fig tree, he also kept someone else from being deceived as well. Because if he wouldn't have cursed that fig tree, I bet somebody else would have seen that fig tree from afar and been hungry and like, hey, I'm gonna go try to get some figs, and they would get disappointed too. But so Jesus cursed the fig tree. And I don't know exactly how he said it, but basically he says, you stupid tree, no one's ever going to eat fruit of you ever again. All right. So, but notice that Jesus did not pray about the fig tree. There is no fig tree prayer. Now it's not like our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the fig tree dies. Anyway. He didn't ask the Father to deal with it either. He spoke directly to the situation. The situation here is a deceptive tree, and he spoke to it. Now, you know, he said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. But I bet you he didn't say it like that. I don't know exactly what he said, but I'm sure it wasn't exactly like that. And if he did say, you know, also too, I want to let you know that Jesus did not speak the King James English either, okay? So some people don't realize that. Some people think that Jesus spoke in the King James English. He didn't even speak English. I know that might blow some of you away. And so some of you that are all tied up with your King James Bible, that wasn't the real Bible, all right? He spoke Hebrew, all right? So learn your Hebrew, all right? But also I want you to notice, the Bible says, and his disciples heard it. So he wasn't quiet about it. He spoke it out loud. You know, but I want you to also notice that when he spoke to the tree, nothing changed. Nothing changed. The tree looked the same. Nothing changed immediately. The tree still looked alive. You know, faith doesn't need instant results to speak. See, what happens in our microwave fast food society, see, we know, I always joke about this because people who are my age remember that they had a thing called, I still have them, I guess, TV dinners, but TV dinners took a lot longer to cook than 2 minutes. You know, first of all, it took you however long to heat your oven up to get to the right temperature. You know, 275, 300, whatever, 350, whatever you need. And then you had to put it in there for like 20 minutes. So, I mean, that could take you over 30 minutes or so to have your TV dinner. Now you got a 2-minute microwave thing and you can't wait 2 minutes. Or same with popcorn. I mean, we look at our microwave and we're mad in our microwave because our popcorn won't pop fast enough. Because we're used to instant results. Same with the drive-thru. You know, we go order our food. Do you realize, especially if there's not a long line, there's not a lot of time between the time that you order and the time you pick your food up. So in order for a fast food restaurant to have a fast line, that means they have a lot of food just sitting out there under a heat lamp. So note to yourself, if you want fresh fast food, take something off. Like order no tomatoes, no onions, or no mayonnaise or whatever, because they have to cook a fresh one for you. But it will take them a little longer. All right? But see, we want things instantly. Do you realize that we live in an instant world? If an earthquake happens right now while I'm preaching, I'm going to get a text alert on my phone or on my iPad even that it would say there was a 7.9 earthquake in Japan. There wasn't, okay? I'm just making this up. You know, because it's instant. We're used to instantly. So what happens is when we speak and things don't change, we get mad. We're like, well, God doesn't work. Well, Jesus, when he spoke to the fig tree, nothing changed immediately. Everything looked the same. But it didn't bother him. But Jesus was like, huh, how come that fig tree didn't change? Did I not speak to it right? But see, we, for whatever reason, think things should change immediately. And I believe one of the things that's actually, you know, one of the big hindrances to your faith and is if you come in a healing line and get healed instantly and you didn't do anything, but you just got healed instantly, that's a hindrance to your faith because next time, if you don't get healed instantly, you get mad. Well, I guess God didn't like me today. No, you know, it doesn't matter what things look like. What matters is that you spoke to the situation. And you really meant it. Because, you know, I've seen my own children. You know, when you have three boys, sometimes they get in disagreements. You know, and then you would hear, I mean, I'd be downstairs and all of a sudden I would hear one of the boys tell the other boy, I'm going to kill you. I'm here to tell you all three of my boys are still alive. So nobody got killed. Now, there might have been some punches thrown, or in Skyler's cases, some stuff thrown at the heads of other people. When you're the littlest one, you learn to throw stuff. All right? So when they said, I'm going to kill you, they didn't really mean it. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, he meant it. He meant it. That fig tree is going to die. You know, now I'm not going to really go there, but you know the next thing Jesus did? He went to the temple and turned over the money changers' tables. But anyway, it's a whole other story. Verse 20, all right? It says this. Hang on, let me make sure I got everything. So remember, he said out loud, his disciples heard it. All right, it wasn't a quiet thing. He wasn't playing the quiet game. He wasn't speaking to himself. Victory, die in Jesus' name. I guess they say my name because it was Jesus. All right. But so it says, verse 20, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Verse 21, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So obviously, the disciples, you know, nothing must happen immediately because the next morning they were shocked that there's a dead fig tree now. You know, 24 hours later. And so, you know, it's important to know that faith always works from unseen to seen. Now, see, we didn't see what happened when Jesus spoke to the fig tree. But if you know anything about a tree has a thing called roots. And before you're going to see the outward part die, something has to happen deep on the inside. The roots begin to dry up whenever the words were spoken. So the roots are first, the results are later. The same thing happens in your life and your body and your situation when you speak. Something happens at the root of your situation. You might not see the result today, tomorrow, and it might take longer than 24 hours. Now, you know, the thing about it is that Jesus wasn't surprised that the fig tree had died up. Because you know what? Some people get surprised whenever they speak to their situation and it changes and they get shocked. They're like, wow, it actually worked. No duh, Sherlock, it works. In fact, if I was Jesus, and this was the thing when Peter came and said, Master, the fig tree's dead. And I would say, no duh, I spoke to it yesterday. So sometimes too, I also wonder, when we speak to our mountain, do we really mean it? Do we really expect it? Because if you don't expect it, you're not in faith. If you don't expect things to change, see, when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, he expected that fig tree to die. Now, at the point in time, he didn't realize it was going to die probably in 24 hours, but he expected it to die some point in time. It could have been 3 days later when they walked by and like, oh, the fig tree died. You know, but he's, you know, of course it died. You know, but it's important. Like I said, the roots first, results later. Just because you don't see anything yet doesn't mean nothing's happening. Do you realize, you know, we use this a lot for sickness. You know, sickness is a progression. Do you realize, you know, many times whenever you hear somebody come and they give the results, especially if they have something like cancer, they'll tell them a stage. It's interesting because I've actually never in my own life heard somebody went to the doctor and say, you have stage one cancer. It's usually by the time they go to the doctor, it's stage three, stage four, even stage five cancer. But you know what? At some point in time, they had stage one cancer. Now, a lot of times people get stage one cancer, do nothing about it, and that's why they don't ever get that diagnosis. But that cancer was a progression. It went from stage one to stage two to stage three to stage four to stage five. You know, and if it continues on, it produces death. But just like something progresses, something can also regress. Now, you realize it took time to go from stage one to stage five. So it's okay to take time to go from stage five to stage zero. Now, but, you know, I know cancer, it's a good example, but because we, we hear the progression. But doesn't the same thing happen with whenever you're having sinus issues or whatever? It starts out with a runny nose, and then it progresses, and at some point in time, you might have the flu. Or COVID, I guess, however you get that. But at some point, it was a progression. It didn't start out, the way it ended up. And so it's okay, to regress. If it took 5 days to progress, maybe it takes 5 days to regress. The point is, don't give up. Did you mean what you said, or were you just joking about it? See, the disciples actually thought Jesus was just mad and hungry. They didn't realize he was serious. You know, and I get it. You know, do you realize that we a lot of times say things when we're mad that we don't really mean? You know, we're just mad. But he wasn't mad and hungry. He meant it. All right, so, you know, in Mark chapter 22, Jesus actually explains the faith lesson. See, first of all, we just saw Jesus in action. And then Jesus says, you can do the same thing. So in verse 22, the first thing he says is to have faith in God. Now, the reason he says that is because he wants you to realize you're not going to move your situation. You're not going to kill your fig tree. You're not going to move your mountain. God is. All right? And anyone alive should realize that God has the ability. All right? Anyone alive should realize it, because you can't look out and see nature and see the mountains and the valleys and the oceans and stuff that we, you know, all the stuff, and not realize that God is God. You know, and I always point out that men are made from dust and women are made from a rib. I mean, that's just, I mean, go to the doctor and get diagnosed with something, and they pull out some chart and showing you how these cells work and how all this stuff works, or even take biology class, and you're like, man, that all came from dust? That came from, I mean, that's like incredible. So God obviously has the power. Now the deal is that what, where we have an issue with the mentally is, we know he can do it, but is he gonna do it for you? That's where it is in our mind. Can he, is he gonna do it for me? And so, you know, a lot of people actually have the mentality, well, if it's God's will. Well, if it's healing, we know it's God's will, because Jesus took the stripes on his back, and by his stripes, you were healed. Obviously, it's God's will for you to be healed. But Jesus also said that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So it's God's will for you to have abundant life. That's why he sent his son to the earth. So if whatever your mountain is you're facing is not causing your life to be abundantly, then it's God's will for you to have a life abundantly. Now, here's an issue that I'm going to tell you that some of you might face. All right? I thank God that I had have a great example as a godly father. You know, I know, and my grandfather's as well, that I know that if there's something that I desire and I don't have the wherewithal to achieve that, but my dad does, he will make sure I have it, because he loves me that much. Now, here's the thing. If your father wasn't as godly of an example, sometimes it's hard for you, because see, you're gonna see your heavenly father like you see your earthly father. And maybe I'm not trying to pick on anyone's dad. I just have the best one. And you know, see, and the deal is, it's an example for us, because you know, I've heard people tell me, you know, they have a hard time seeing God's love because their dad wasn't very loving. And, you know, so the deal is that you have to realize, even if your dad wasn't the best example and the most loving or whatever, if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be here. So wherever your situation is, you know, he had a big part that you're alive. All right. But the other thing about it is, in spite of that, God does love you, and he wants to see you flourish. And you have to realize that. You have to mentally realize that God doesn't want to punish you. Because, you know, we can't have faith in God if we don't know God's really going to do it for us. Because a lot of times we make excuses, well, you know what, if I was God, I wouldn't bless me either. You know, because I haven't been the best Christian in the world. I haven't been this, I haven't been that, I haven't been, you know, whatever. You know, but the deal is that God loves you. All right. I actually got a shirt the other day at Walmart. It says, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. And underneath it says, but he loves me more. Anyway. See, that should be your attitude. Your attitude should be that you are God's favorite. You know, you are God's favorite. All right, but notice he didn't say have faith in faith. He said have faith in God. All right, because ultimately you can't move your mountain. You can't dry a fig tree's roots up. You can't do any of that. So stop trying. Just put your faith in God. All right, so he said have faith in God. Faith is confidence in God's word and God's character. When you speak faith, you are not trying to move God. You are enforcing what God has already said. You're not trying to move God. So fig tree faith speaks to the problem. And that's where we get Mark 11, you know, 23. It says, for assuredly I say to you, so that's Jesus talking. It says, whoever, and realize this, I want you to know that you are a whoever. All right, because it doesn't say my disciples. It says that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So it's important to keep saying that you're going to have whatever you say. Whatever I say I'm going to have, I'm going to have. You know, remember when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, he wasn't quiet about it. He said it out loud. All right, now, you know, so the Bible says that whoever says, you are whoever. This verse includes you. So notice in the order it says, first of all, put your faith in God, because a lot of times people forget step one, because, you know, step one is put your faith in God. Step two is to say it. Step two, you know, three is to believe. You know, if you want to continue on, step four and five is to keep saying it. And then step six is to receive it. What are you going to receive? What you say? Now, you know, Jesus moves from the fig trees to the mountain. If you don't like the mountain, then don't talk about it. Talk to it. If you have a mountain in your way and you don't like that situation, don't talk about, well, man, you know, this is so bad, I don't know what to do. No, speak to your mountain, just like Jesus spoke to the fig tree. He knew what to do when he faced disappointment. He got rid of it. You know, you are going to have mountains in your life. You know, you might live in a fig forest. You know, every time that you get through one fig tree, something else pops up. And you might face disappointment after disappointment. And, you know, but that's just the devil being the devil. Now, let me illustrate. This is kind of interesting. So imagine if you're driving down the road and suddenly your car stalls. So the engine dies and you're stuck. So what do? You know, you can't just, now, you can sit there and say, I believe this car can run. I really believe it. You know, but if you never turn the key, you're not going anywhere. You know, just by believing your car is going to run doesn't make it run. You have to turn the key, or in the day and age that we live in, push the button. You know, there has to be an action for something to happen. Now, obviously, if your car stalled, there might be other issues, you know, wrong with your car, but if you don't push the button, you never can find out those issues. You know, have you ever had a car where you turn the key and it goes, you know, finally it might, hopefully cranked. Some of you this morning might have been, thank you, Jesus, this car's going to crank, you know, because it could be your battery's low, and nobody wants to jump their car in 12-degree weather. All right, and it could be the starter's bad or whatever, but if you don't turn the key, you never even know. You know, turning the key is like speaking faith. When something happens that you don't plan on it, do you realize if your car stalls, the first thing you should do is try to restart it? Does that make sense? All right, well, if things don't seem like they're working out, the first thing you should do is start speaking faith. You know, it's like turning the key. You know, believing is essential, but speaking is what releases what you believe. If you don't speak it, you're definitely not going to believe it. All right. You know, but it's interesting. Many believers believe God with their heart, but they never turn the key with their mouth. They believe God heals, but they keep saying, I'm so sick. They believe God provides, but they keep saying, I don't know how we're going to make it. Jesus didn't keep talking to the fig tree. He didn't have a fig tree conversation. All right. He spoke once and he walked away. Do you realize he spoke to the fig tree and then he left? Didn't say anything else about it. He left. All right. He didn't say, you know, have a fig tree conversation. He didn't beg the fig tree to die. He just spoke to it. And then he walked away. You know, faith doesn't keep turning the key all day long. Faith turns the key and expects the engine to respond. Now, actually, the way I always was taught is that, you know, the Bible does talk about keep speaking. But see, the first time you speak, because this is what you want to happen, you speak to your situation. After that, I keep speaking, but instead of, I'm not begging God to change my situation. I say thank you, Father, that this has changed. See, I'm speaking, but I'm thanking him because I know it's already done. See, faith is having something before you see it. And if something is already, so whenever I speak to the situation, in my mind, it's already happened. So then I'm just thanking him, you know, that I'm going to see the outcome. You know, I don't keep begging him, well, God, please, pretty please, with sugar on top, can you do this? You know, and that's where we get to Mark 11:24. It says, you know, so it says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, it's what's important is that you're supposed to believe you receive them when you pray. It doesn't say believe you receive them when you have them. You know, it says whenever you pray, you believe you receive them. So if you believe that you receive something when you spoke it immediately, then why is there doubt in your mind? I sure hope God's going to do this for me. See, like I said, some people keep talking negative whenever they think they're in faith. Well, if something's already happened, it's not going to happen again. It's already changed. All right? You don't believe when you see it. You believe when you pray. Faith says, I have it now. Before it ever shows up. In which Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. Faith is now. It's. I have it right now. I have it now. So if you have something now, then it's yours, even though you don't see it. You know, but and people will try to talk you out of it because, you know, they don't get it. I'm not saying everybody, but I'm saying that people who don't understand the Bible will say, well, you know, are you crazy? Things aren't changing. Oh, yeah, they've already changed. See, faith has it before it even sees it. You know, according to Webster's New World Dictionary, faith is an unquestioning belief without any proof or evidence. An unquestioning, I mean, there is no question. You know, so we can't say, God, when is this going to happen? Because it's already happened by faith. God, why is this not happening? Because it's already happened by faith. You remember, we're just on the root system right now. We're at the root of your situation. Things are changing from the root. You know, but a lot of times that we lose everything because we start talking doubt, unbelief. You know, because there is a part you got to speak. What are you speaking? Well, you're speaking God's word. And then what do you believe in? Well, you're going to believe whatever you're speaking. If you're saying, you know, I'm always sick, then you're always sick. You're going to have whatever you say. That's what the word of God says. Whatever you say, you are going to have. You know, so this is where believers miss it. They speak faith once, then they talk doubt all day long. You know, they turn the key, then start driving, and then decide to put the car back in park. You know, faith speaks, then it stands. That's why we got the verse, having done all to stand, what do? We stand. Do you realize that after the word to stand, there is nothing else? It doesn't say to retreat. It doesn't say to move forward. It says stand there until you see the answer. The victory is already yours. So faith speaks, and then it stands. That's not denial. That's Bible faith. You speak the word. You believe the word. Whatever you say, whenever I'm talking, my faith is in God. You have to realize that. See, that's a whole different, my faith is not in myself. I want you to know you're not going to move your mountain. You're not going to move your fig tree. So my faith is in God. So see, that's what people that don't know the Bible, that's what they don't understand. They hear you talking and they think, well, I don't know how that's going to move. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter what you know. The Bible says only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Now, you know, highlight the word all things. What does all things mean? It's all-inclusive word of meaning all. Because, see, people want to limit God based upon their knowledge. You know, the Bible says that all things are possible. Why are all things possible? Because you believe. Well, if you really believe, I believe that if I believe something, I'm not going to speak something different. So when you listen to somebody speak doubt and unbelief, I personally don't really believe that they believe it. Because all day long, they're on the seesaw of faith. They're up and they're down. They're up and they're down. They're up and they're down, you know. I guess they can juggle, you know. You know, and over in James, it says, let that man, you know, think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Because you're not really in faith, because see, faith has it, even when it doesn't see it. So the way, what you're saying with your mouth is what you're going to determine. I mean, that's going to determine the outcome. Now, here's the thing. The saying part's very important because your mind is going to think negatively a lot of times. Your mind is going to think, when is this going to happen? Now, when your mind thinks that, you have to understand that, you know, because see, the deal is we're a natural human being. All right, that's why Paul kept talking about putting your mind under, because what you think shouldn't always be what you say. What you think shouldn't always be what you say, and I guarantee you if you learn that, that will help you in life, period. You know, don't always be quick to speak. You know, what you think does determine what you say if you let it determine. So when I think something, sometimes when it comes to the word, when I think something up here, I have to speak something differently down there. Because it's not what I see, it's what I believe is important. Because see, maybe in my situation, I walk by the next day and I see afar the fig tree still there. And I walk by the next day and the fig tree is still there. And I walk by the next day and this fig tree is still there. But see, what I would do in that situation is if I walk by and see that fig tree, I say, thank you, Father, that fig tree's gone in Jesus' name. You know, or next day come by, you know, I spoke to that fig tree 2 days ago. It's dead in Jesus' name. See, the deal is what happens to us. We go and see that fig tree still alive and we're like, does this really work? Am I crazy? Now, you know, it's really, when you go back to Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, for my grandfather, it was pretty easy to believe it works because he walked off of a deathbed basically knowing only a few scriptures. Because see, sometimes it's really hard because we all know Brother Hagin, we he has hundreds of books out there, we see videos and all, and we don't see 16-year-old Brother Hagin that's partially paralyzed and given up to die, you know, that really never went to church very much, that decides to read a Bible and gets to this verse, and really the biggest part of this verse, going to the King James, Mark 11, 24, it says, what things soever you desire. And he says, I desire a well body more than anything. And so if he desired more well-body more than anything, then he had to speak to the situation. And then he had to do the biggest step of faith. He had to get up out of the bed. And you realize he didn't get healed until he got up out of the bed. As long as he laid there, nothing happened. See, getting out of bed was turning the key, was pushing the button. And it says when he know his story, he got out of the bed. You know, here he is, he's dying. I mean, he doesn't really know much about the word. All he knows about what does this verse say? He got out of bed because the Lord said, well, what do well people do? I don't know, 10 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it was. All right. And he held on to the bedpost and immediately things begin to change. And it says, you know, that something hit him on top of the head that felt like honey that oozed throughout his body, and it felt like pins and needles were going off, and that was his body waking up. I don't know if you've ever slept on your arm and your arm goes numb, you know, well, it wakes up, kind of feels weird or whatever. And he said, if it wouldn't have felt so good, it would have hurt so bad, because, you know, when you hadn't felt in a long time, it feels good to feel. But the nerves were waking up. And then he walked to breakfast. You know, and so it's really easy for him to believe, because his first thing was he got a healing from an incurable disease. But it's a whole lot harder for you, because you're not, you know, especially if you're not dying. Do you realize if he wouldn't have got a hold of this scripture, he would have died? And I wouldn't be here. You know, sometimes I say that, you know, other people say, I probably wouldn't be here either. Because if it wasn't for his books that changed their life. You know, you never realize that how one person can hold of one scripture and can change millions of people's lives. Maybe you should get a hold of a few scriptures and really believe them. I'm not picking on anyone, but see, the deal is it was easier for him to believe, because when something happens for you, it's easier the next time. It's easier next time. Because confidence wise, it builds, you know, it's interesting, and you'll see it a lot of times. I mean, you know, there'll be a team on a losing streak and they'll win one game, then they'll start keep winning games for after a while, because there's something that changes mentally, that changes on the inside. Mentally, it's a whole lot easier. Like, you know what, you know, you're facing another situation. Well, this isn't as bad as it was last time, so this will be easy. Piece of cake. But remember what the Bible says about all things. It doesn't matter if it's $1,000 or $100,000, it's an all thing. It doesn't matter if it's a cold or it's cancer, it's an all thing. You speak the same way to the fig tree that you speak to Mount Everest. There is no difference in the way you speak, and there should be no difference in the way you think, because things have to move, because my faith is in God. It's not in myself, and it's not even in the words that I speak. It's because I'm putting my mouth in line with God's word. And, you know, and even when I see things that doesn't compute in my brain, I have to not speak them out. And I use an example of my kidneys. You know, when my kidneys weren't working, I knew they weren't working based upon going to the bathroom and looking at you know, the little tests. I never one time said, oh, my kidneys aren't working. Not one time ever. I said, thank you, Father, that my kidneys are normal in the name of Jesus every time. It wasn't what I saw that I spoke. I spoke what I wanted, what I desired, because what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. So see, but I didn't beg for it. I said, I thanked him that I was healed. Now, there's a few other scriptures I want to go through really fast on talking about speaking. You know, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your tongue can determine whether you live or whether you die. And, you know, we hear that word, but in all reality, what you say is what you're going to have. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we believe, therefore we speak. So if you're speaking something that's different than what you think you're believing, you're not being a doer of the word of God, because you really don't believe. You believe what you speak. You might say you believe differently, but if you're speaking differently, you really don't believe it. You're just saying it. It's like my kids saying they're going to kill each other. You're speaking what you don't believe. All right, so if you say, well, I'm believing I'm well, but you speak about how sick you are, you know, there are some people in this world that, you know, usually whenever you run into someone, you know, let's say you're at Walmart and you're greeting somebody, the first thing you say is how you're doing, right? You know, there are some people I know when you say how you're doing, they're going to tell me how bad it is. There are some people that I have, you know, I don't ask them how they're doing. Because I don't want a long conversation. I just want them to say good. And so I can go on and buy my groceries. That's why me and my mom are mad that Walmart closes at 11 o'clock, you know, at nighttime. Because we would do most of our shopping after midnight. You can ask her. I ran into my mom at 2 in the morning at Walmart before. You know, and I don't know why, but if I was, you know, Mr. Walmart or whoever's running Walmart now, I'm like, there are already people there stocking this thing anyway, because half the time I would shop with the stockers anyway. I don't mean stockers like stocking me. I mean the stockers, people putting the soup on the shelf. I said, all I need, I'm the checker anyway. I check myself out, you know, because I went to school to learn to check my, to scan my groceries. So all you need is a couple of people to sit there, watch me check out. So all Walmart has to do is hire two people and lock the other door. They already do anyway. They need two extra people, and they could be open all night long for people like me. Two people. Wouldn't be hard at all. Anyway, that's a whole nother rant. Whatever we say, we believe. Whatever you're speaking, you're really believing. So if you don't like what you're having, change what you're saying. Because you're going to have whatever you say. All right, Romans 4:17 says, God calls things that are not as though they were. All right, I'm giving the Craig translation right here, but you know, you can read it on there. God who gives us his life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So the things that you don't see, God calls them to life. Now, see, when the Bible here says God calls them, but here's, see, my faith is in God, so God can call them to life. When I speak, I put my faith in God. All right? One more thing. It says, Hebrews 11:3, the words were framed by the word of God. And there's a scripture if you want to read it. The words that we speak are framed by God's word. What does God's word say? You know, that is a statement that always rings in my ears, should ring in your ear, because it's one of my grandfather's biggest statements. What does the word say? What does the Bible say? And I'm here to tell you, if you were to ask him a question, you know, whatever, that would be the first, that is his answer. I mean, he doesn't have to be here for me to remember his answer, because anytime I ever ask him a question about, you know, anything, he'd always say, well, what does the Bible say? And he expected me to tell him what the Bible says, because if I don't know what the Bible says, then I really don't care about my situation. So he would ask me, I would say what the Bible says, because I know the word. And then he would say, yep, so that's what God says. And then he would give me a couple other scriptures, because he knew more scripture. You know, he'd just rattle them off. You know, but the deal is, my grandfather's mentality is, it doesn't matter what I say. What matters is, what does the word say? And when I speak to my mountain, I'm not speaking by myself. We're speaking together. It's God and I speaking together. My faith is in God. God is moving my mountain. God is making my fig tree dry up. So in conclusion, Jesus used the fig tree to teach us something powerful. So just like Jesus spoke to the fig tree, that's how you speak to your mountain, to your situation. Faith speaks, faith believes, and faith receives. It's not that hard. We're the ones that make it hard. We make it hard. Well, really it's the devil who makes it hard. He's the one who's trying to tell us, hey, it's not working. So, well, that was my mother-in-law. No, you know, when people say it's not working, it doesn't matter what people say. People shouldn't get caught up. We're not in second grade anymore. All right, who cares what other people say? You know, it doesn't matter when people say, well, I don't see anything. Well, the Bible doesn't say your neighbors should be able to see everything. Or your family or whatever. It doesn't matter what other people say. What does the word say? That's the most important part. All right, so decide today that I'm going to speak God's word. I will believe without doubt, and I will receive what God has promised. That's fig tree faith. And that's how faith works every time. But it doesn't always happen in 24 hours, 48 hours. It doesn't matter. Well, you just keep standing. Having done all, stand. See, the deal is what happens a lot of times. We don't put scriptures together. We don't think about examples. See, Paul was given an example because I'm sure that every time that Paul spoke to things didn't happen immediately. That's why he talked about putting his mind under, having the mind of Christ. It doesn't matter, you know, that my natural mind doesn't see it. What do I believe? What does God's word say? So fig tree faith is an example. Jesus gave us an example how we can use that same kind of faith to move our mountains. And, you know, when I say mountains, it's not a literal mountain. You know, it's sickness, it's, you know, lack, it's whatever it might be. Just believe. All things are possible to them that believe. But keep speaking. Whatever you speak is really what you believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here this morning. We thank you, Father, this morning just for a quick lesson on faith. We thank you, Father, that any time that we have a situation, whether it's a fig tree, whether it's a mountain, whatever it might be, that we can speak to that situation and it has to move every single time. So, Father God, we just thank you for it now, but we also thank you for each and every person that's here this morning. And we thank you if somebody is here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without knowing Jesus. It's hard to speak to a mountain if you don't know Jesus. So if you're here today and you say, Brother Craig, I've never been saved. I've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior in my life. If you've never done that, today is your day. If you're here this morning and say, I've never ask the Lord to become Lord of my life. Lift your hand right now. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. Where my grandfather talks about what he calls a no-so experience. You know, I always say this, you can live in a garage and not be a car. You can come to church and not be saved. If you've never asked Jesus to come in your life, you can know this morning. Lift your hand if that's you. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, Craig, at one time I walked with the Lord, but I've turned my back and I went away and I want to rededicate my life to God. If that's you, on any invitation, lift your hand right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you, Father, right now, that if anyone is here does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you, Father, that you'll bring laborers across their path on a daily basis, and they will get saved in the name of Jesus. Amen.